The Polish writer Tadeusz Konwicki was born in the northeast of his country in 1926. It later became part of Lithuania. During the Nazi occupation, Konwicki fought in the Polish resistance and later fled to central Poland and settled in Warsaw. Konwicki draws on his family history in his new novel, Bowen Manor. Book critic John Leonard says the result is complex and rewarding.
Beneath the old-fashioned charm of Bowen Manor is another darker novel. It's a music box of a book, like the toy Swiss chalet the heroine plays with. Lift the roof and you hear a polonaise, a brassy farewell to the fatherland. But inside, besides melodies, there are also demons. The time is late in the 19th century, at the end of summer. The place is pastoral Lithuania. The heroine, Helena, a young woman of noble birth and impoverished circumstances, is about to marry into the local gentry. She falls dangerously in love instead with a red-haired stranger, about whom the police have their suspicions. Her father isn't much help. He hasn't said anything to anyone in years. Nor is the local priest, whose mind is on other matters. Even her faithful coachman, who claims to be 182 years old, is merely gnomic when Helena asks him for advice. There are wild doves, tame deer, a fearful storm, and gunshots. It's that sort of novel. On the other hand, it isn't really. In real life, Helena was the grandmother of Tadeusz Konwicki, the novelist we're reading. He is imagining her in fiction, as she decides on his future. By figuring out the novel, we figure out Konwicki. We need to know a little about 19th century history in the Baltics. Like Scarlett O'Hara, Helena belonged to a losing cause. She lost her plantation and her first love in a failed uprising of the Polish nobility against the Russian Tsar. In the woods, police are still hunting subversives. The red-haired stranger claims to be a revolutionary. And there's more. The red-haired stranger is Jewish. Jews haunt Helena the way ghosts haunt a governess in Henry James. Nor are these Jews the only ghosts. All over Lithuania, and in the grammar of Konwicki's imagination, there are also ghosts who live in a tense that can only be called the past-future imperfect. For instance, the Russian police chief, with his mustache and his gray and horribly pockmarked face and his Georgian accent, can only be Stalin's father. And what are we to make of the wild beast in the forest who devours men and burns Jews? Its name is Schicklgruber, which was Adolf Hitler's family name. Pilsudski, the Polish warrior statesman, shows up as a little boy, and Lenin shows up as a baby. And if there's Stalin's father, there's also Pushkin's son. Not only because Pushkin wrote an anti-Polish propaganda poem, but also because the red-haired stranger wants Helena to call him Tadeusz, after the hero in the epic poem by the Polish Pushkin, Adam Mickiewicz, who also appears in this novel. And of course, Konwicki's own first name is Tadeusz. Is the past creating an appropriate future, or does the future always insist on an appropriate past? I haven't mentioned Tsar Alexander and Napoleon carving up Europe, nor the failed Paris Commune, nor the fairy tale Opal from Australia, nor the odd weather that summer in Lithuania, with the fleecy sky and that strange, deep, all-embracing sound as if planets were grinding against each other, nor the way clocks are always striking, but nobody can ever remember the count of the chimes. Gone with the wind and the turn of the screw and revolutionary politics and your own grandmother. What more, really, could any reader ask for?
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning.